Good morning. We can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice. There is an old Irish saying, and it goes like this. Poor is the church without music. Poor is the church without music. Amen?
Amen.
This morning, we in fact will gather in celebration of the ways that music enriches our lives and the life of this church, the way it helps us to love one another, and the way it helps us to worship God. In our worship this morning, we are going to use music to praise, to confess, to pray, and even to preach. Now, since there are too many great hymns in our hymnal to have picked them, if you look at your bulletin, and I invite you to do so now, you will notice that we are going to be singing a bunch of medleys today, single verses of your favorite hymns, and here's how it's going to work. Evan's going to play the first verse in its entirety, so you can get used to it. And then he will play little bridges between the verses so that you can anticipate the tune that is coming next. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to be beautiful. In fact, let's try it. Let's rise to your feet and let's open our worship.
Thank you. Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence.
Know that the Lord is God.
God made us, and we are God's people, sheep of our pasture.
Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to God. Bless your name.
For the Lord is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever,
and God's faithfulness to all generations.
On this day, as we are celebrating sacred music, a very sacred song came to mind. Louis Armstrong's Wonderful World. And there is a line in that song that particularly sticks out for me. It says, I see friends walking by saying, how do you do? What they're really saying is, I love you. It is what we do every week when we share Christ's peace. We stick out our hand and we say, how do you do? But we are really saying, I love you. So here and now, let's move around this room. Let's share Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you. Friends, you may be seated. Welcome to the First Congregational Church. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Now, you should know something. Here in this church, we take a few things quite seriously. We take very seriously the love of God and the love of neighbor. We are absolutely passionate about the joy of food. And we also are deeply committed to the glory of music. Here we like to extend an extravagant welcome, and that means this. You are welcome here if you are an alto, a bass, a tenor, or a soprano, and you are welcome here if you have no idea what those words mean or how they apply to you, for we understand that to be a choir of angels, we need all voices, and to be the body of Christ, we need every one of you. You are welcome here if you could sing like Andrea Bocelli. You are. You are also welcome here if you cannot carry a tune in a bucket. For here we know that God doesn't so much care how you sing, but rather that you do sing in joy and thanksgiving. You are welcome here if all your favorite hymns are old standards. And you are welcome here if you love new contemporary music, funky rhythms, and syncopated beats, because what we want you to know this morning is that you are God's love song waiting to be sung, no matter what the beat of your life looks like. You are welcome here if your life feels like a whirling jig, a joyful melody, or a somber lament, for we meet in the midst of our lives. And God knows that life can be all of those things, and sometimes all at once. Friends, you are welcome here. May the music of our worship stir your hearts, stoke your spirits, and maybe even, if you are bold enough, make you dance right here in the middle of worship. If you are new here to us, we invite you to fill out one of these cards and put it in the offering plate so that we can reach out and get to know you a little bit better. I would ask anyone who has an announcement to make, to please come forward to do that now. As they come forward and join all around this, you will notice that your bulletin is chock full of announcements and inserts and handouts. Please pay attention to them, for they pertain to the life of this church going forward.
I'm Joyce Hovey, clerk of the church. I'm going to read the call for the annual meeting. To all members of the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, in accordance with the bylaws of the church, I hereby call the annual meeting of the church for Sunday, May 19th, 2013, at 11 a.m. The business to be transacted is as follows. 1, election of officers and boards of the church. 2, celebrations and recognitions. 3, to act upon any other business that may legally come before the meeting. Joyce Hovey, clerk. Margaret Hornick, moderator.
It is an important day in the life of our church, and it's one that I hope you can make time to be here for. Another announcement.
You can't miss it. It's bright green in your bulletin. Next Friday, May 10th, we'll be meeting here in the Jonathan Edwards Room, giving all of us an opportunity to sign letters of environmental concern to your elected officials. There'll be a variety of different issues. You don't have to sign anything. You can sign all of them. You can just come for the pizza. And a very short video, about a half-hour video, called The Story of Stuff, which is an animated awakener. And so we'll hope you all come. One other little thing. We have out here on the library table a card, which is for this afternoon for Brent. So if any of you are here now and not going to be here this afternoon, please be sure to sign your name.
Thank you.
I'm going to make this announcement. After church, people may tell their children that I have brought a soccer ball for those, anyone under 95 years old, I'm sorry to exclude, may play soccer on the church lawn with me after church.
While singing, indeed, indeed. Now, how to make a transition from that to time of confession?
I confess.
Friends, welcome to the life of this church. You can tell that our life here is full and rich. One of the aspects of our life, though, I hope as a congregation, is that we are always truth tellers, that we bring our whole selves to worship, to one another, and to God. And so, as we continue in worship, we do that in an act of confession. We lay ourselves fully before God, laying down the burdens that God might take them from us. We will sing our way into confession today. There will be a time of silent prayer to follow. Friends, let us be real and open and true before our God.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, hear these words. The Apostle Paul writes that he is convinced. He is utterly convinced. He is 100% sure that there is nothing in all of creation, nothing that you have done or could ever do, that would be able to separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus. That is the good news for today. We are a forgiven people. Let us sing about that great truth. Amen. Please be seated. Her name is Carolyn Sharp. And more than any other person on this entire planet, Carolyn taught me how to really love, truly and deeply love this sacred book of ours, the Bible. Carolyn was my professor of Hebrew scripture at YDS, and in class, she would always remind us of three things. First, she would say, "Class, this book is far too precious a gift to ever approach half-heartedly." She would say, "Second, this work is far too complex to ever approach the Bible lazily." And finally, she would say, "This book, this beautiful book of truth, is far too dangerous a book to ever approach superficially." She told us that this book is written for our whole selves, and it requires nothing short of our whole hearts, nothing less than our complete minds. And she said it requires every single bit of imagination you can come up with. She said, "This is not a book to be read. This is a book to wrestle with." And of course, then she would immediately tell us of the famous story from Hebrew scriptures of wrestling. You might remember it. It is the story of a man named Jacob, if you remember that story, and how one night he spent the entire night wrestling with an angel of God. It says in that story that he clung on to that angel until he got good news and truth. He wrestled the entire night long. Wrestling is something that takes stamina. Now, Professor Sharp would also remind us that if you remember that story well, wrestling has some risks. When Jacob got up that next morning, if you remember, Jacob ended up from all that wrestling with a limp that he would carry around for the rest of his life. This book is never to be taken lightly. She taught us in class that there is always more than one faithful way to read this book, but that it is our sacred obligation, yours and mine, to read it, because in this text, we help to know God and we help to know ourselves. But perhaps most importantly of all, she taught us that wrestling is always a team sport. that wrestling with the Bible should always be done in the midst of community, in the midst of family, an endeavor that we all engage in individually and as part of a family. These texts, she reminds us, were put onto paper because a community of people found meaning in these texts, not just for their individual lives, but for what it means to live together. Real community, where we come together in truth and in openness. Real community that I hope this church is and can be, where we share the good news of our life, where we share the bad news of our life, and even where we share the ugly news of our lives with one another. If you asked her, she would tell you that the most important book, or among the most important books for our communal life together, is the book of Psalms. The Psalms are our treasure, she taught us, because they are real, honest, and true. The Psalms are often complex and challenging, but brothers and sisters, our lives are often complex and challenging, are they not? Today, we're going to focus on two psalms, the first psalm and the 84th psalm. The first psalm in this book is an introduction to all the other psalms. It is meant to open our hearts up to the 149 psalms that follow it. And this psalm, you can think of it as a bit of a stretching exercise for the wrestling match to follow. Here's what Professor Sharp has to say about this first psalm. She says, and I quote, that it shines like a beacon of hope, promising that grace beyond measure awaits all those who turn to, who wrestle with, and who find solace in the Word of God. Here on Music Sunday, we are going to ask the choir to help bring these texts to life. I invite you to bring your whole mind, your whole heart, and every bit of your imagination. And I promise you'll hear words of truth. I am going to read the text, and then they are going to sing it. Friends, I invite you even to close your eyes and let these words wash over you. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thank you.
How can it get any better? If there ever was a week to proclaim the beauty of the Berkshires, it was this last week, amen? Amen. Magnolias in bloom, trees coming to life, forsythia so yellow that you needed sunglasses just to look at it. Skies of blue, sun to warm your skin, and cool nights for perfect sleeping weather. I have to admit, John and I, when we walk around this town and this county, we still talk about how thankful we are to be in such a great place of beauty. And you know what? I have already discovered the single most beautiful spot in all of Berkshire County. That's right, I have. And no, despite the fact there are golf clubs in my office, it is not the golf course. It is not Monument Mountain. It is not the Botanical Gardens. It is not even Tanglewood. The most beautiful spot, without doubt, in all of Berkshire County is right here. It is. It is right here in this room where the light so perfectly streams through those windows, revealing God's creation on the other side. Here in this room where history lines our walls, but where you and I are still making history together. This is the most beautiful place in all of Berkshire County, because when we do prayers together every week, I see in your faces the lives you are living. I see the joy of new babies and the sorrow and grief of illness and death. Here in this room, we come together in worship and community and fellowship. This, my friends, is the most beautiful place in all of Berkshire County. Here we know the truth. God makes a home and then invites us in. Here, God spreads a table before us. This is a place of sanctuary, a place of healing. I don't know about you, but often when I leave this place, I am still singing the closing hymn hours after we sang it. In all and complete honesty, this week, this hour, in this place is the highlight of all my weeks. It is a time I look forward to, and it is a time that sustains me in the week to come. It is that very message that the 84th Psalm talks all about. The 84th Psalm was written by a people who knew how easy it is to get lost in the wilderness of life. Amen? It was written by a people for whom the most important event of the entire year for them was coming to the sanctuary, was pilgrimage to the temple. It was a journey that took days, if not weeks. It was a journey where you surrounded yourself with your family, where you surrounded yourself with loved ones, and where you walked, and where you talked, and where you sang. You sang psalms all the way to the temple and all the way back. And here is what people learn. That to keep making that journey over and over again, to keep coming to the holy place over and over again, was to write the truth of that journey on your heart. That coming to this place each and every week is to take God's beautiful truth and love and to write it on your own heart. And here's what they found, is that when that love of God's is actually written on our hearts, we have the capacity not just to find beauty in God's great creation, but to bring beauty and life to it. In the 84th Psalm, it says this. It says that we become springs in the desert and rain for the gardens of this world when God's love is in our hearts. Friends, it is why this is the most beautiful place in all of Berkshire County, and it is why this is my favorite time of any week. The 84th Psalm, there's no question it was meant to be sung. The very first verse, in fact, says, "For the music master." And since that is you, I would ask you to sing it so that when I'm done reading it, if you could stand, you could sing when I am done reading. Friends, hear these words of the 84th Psalm. How lovely
is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs. Indeed, it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. A day in your courts, O God, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Friends, as we draw to our time in prayer, we draw ourselves closer to one another and to all who have come before us. Today we will use a Taze prayer. For those of you who have been here, you might be familiar. Taze is a simple sung song. We will sing it repeatedly to let the words wash over us and so that we might move past those words. There will then be time for you to pray in silence, for whatever is on your heart, the joys and concerns you carry, and then we will respond in song as well. Friends, let us pray. When I think about church at a young age, my mind always goes back to my grandfather's church. He was a pastor of a large 3,000-member Lutheran church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. My grandfather was a big man. He was 6'3", 6'4", but even bigger than his stature. In the midst of that church that was packed, when he stood up front and sang, you could hear his voice unmiked over everyone else. It defies physics. But the one thing that I always remember is that the Lutherans in their tradition would often do the same thing from week to week, and it was great. Around the offering, I remember this song. He would stand and he would sing these words as the offering was brought forward. He would sing and the whole congregation would join him. We give thee but thine own. Whate'er the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, a trust, O God, from thee. That is what we do when we give the offering. We give back to God in gratitude for what God has first given us. Friends, let us give now and do so joyfully.
Yes.
Loving God, we ask you to bless these gifts. We ask you to wrap your loving heart around these gifts, that they might go forth from this place as miracles of healing and of hope. God, we ask you likewise to bless all those who have gathered here in this place, that our lives might be blessed and through us the world might know your love. All this we ask in the name of our brother Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. And so, friends, I bid you welcome at this table. I invite all of you to come to this table. For this table is the table of Christ. I invite you to come here just as you are. I invite you to come here hungry and ready to be fed. I invite you to come here thirsty and ready to drink. I come to invite you to come to this table as beloved children of God, exactly who you are. Friends, we remember the story of this table. It is a story that has been told down through the church for ages. It is a story that parents told their children, and then children grew up to tell their own children. And the story of this table goes something like this. On the night in which Jesus gave his life for us, he gathered around him his chosen family. He gathered around him his disciples. And he bid them sit around this very table. And as they were sitting there on that day, he took the bread. And he blessed that bread. He gave thanks for that bread. And then in front of them, he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, afterwards, he took the cup. He lifted that cup up before them, and he blessed that cup. He gave thanks for that cup, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood, which has been poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Friends, one thing that we need to do before we can partake of this feast is to bless this feast. And I need all of your help, adults and children alike. So if you would take one of your hands in this ancient sign of a Christian blessing, aim it at this table. Imagine all the love in your heart pouring out of your hands. And then I want you to lift your eyes above this table for just one moment. As you bless the elements of this table, you can't help but bless everyone else. You are blessing the choir. They are blessing you. It is a beautiful thing. Let us pray. Come, God, come. Dive deep into this holy meal. Send yourself down into this bread. Send yourself deep into this cup, that this meal might be for us a holy feast, that we might truly encounter you and your Spirit here in our midst on this day. God, bless this food to the nourishment of our body and this meal to the nourishment of our souls. We ask all of this in the name of the one whose table this is. Amen. Now, friends, there are a couple things you should know about this meal. This meal is served with gluten-free bread. It is served with unfermented grape juice, so that there might be no barrier between you and the grace that God freely offers to you here in this meal. One other thing, just in case you're sitting there in your pew wondering if this meal is really for you, if you are really welcome or worthy of this meal, we remember that on that first night, sitting around the table with Jesus was one who was going to betray him. There was another who was going to deny him not just once, but three times. And every single person who joined Jesus at that meal, they would all flee into the darkness in Jesus' greatest hour of need. Jesus knew it, and he shared this meal with them. So surely, he would share this meal with us. Friends, this meal is ready, and it is for the people of God, and that is you. So come prepared to feast. Sisters and brothers, this is the bread of life. Take now and eat. Friends, this is the cup of salvation, and it is poured out for you. Drink now. Friends, let us join our hearts and our minds together in thanksgiving for this meal. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for food that nourishes. We give you thanks for your Spirit which revives. We ask that, like the springtime, this meal might bud in us new life and new growth, that we may go forth from this place evermore your faithful servants. We give you thanks and praise, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, we have a tradition here at this church that following a meal in which we are fed, we pray with our mouths, and then we pray with our lives. We invite anyone to come forward at this point as an active prayer of thanksgiving, bringing food for the food pantry or money to donate. You're invited to do so now and bring them here. Brothers and sisters, our time of worship here in this beautiful room is coming to a close, that our worship of God beyond these walls may begin once again anew. Before you go, however, there are a few invitations for you. We would invite you to come immediately after this worship service through those doors, where I have seen a whole lot of beautiful food waiting for you. If you are hungry, that is a place to feed your bodies and also to make new friends. I would remind everyone of the impromptu soccer game that is about to unfold on our front lawn. So if you would like to go out there, please do so. And then I would also invite all of you back later this afternoon at 4 o'clock for the service of installation, where I will be installed into covenantal relationship with you as your pastor. Friends, when we bless one another and prepare to send us on our way, it is not something I do.
It is something God does, and it's something God does through us. And today, you are going to bless one another. In our closing hymn, you are going to sing these words to one another, because that's how these words were meant to be sung. So stand up, if you can. And because you need to sing to each other, everyone turn and face the center aisle. Look at the words on the page, but more importantly, look into the eyes across from you and sing these words to them. Friends, let us close our worship in song. Friends, you have blessed one another, so now go in peace to serve God and to love one another. And let the church say, Amen. Amen.